Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day, call for help.
We're just seconds away. 11:05 is when you call in for your chance to win. Caller 4 at 11:05. Recite or just tell Sean your favorite end-of-show sounder, and you win a pair of tickets to the Listener Appreciation Party if you're caller 4. So we'll get to that here in seconds, actually.
Ten seconds.
We're pretty close. So be ready. Get in.
Actually, if you're hearing this.
Yeah, it's like too late now. We're on a bit of a delay. Yes, at this point. So we'll get our winner here shortly. Okay, as far as what else there is to focus on, the Astros play today. An hour after this show is over, it'll be the end or the final game of the Blue Jays series. The Astros trying to win another series. They got not their best pitcher, at least as far as this season has gone, but overall, most talent, most accomplishments, Hunter Brown, their best pitcher, is out there today against the Blue Jays team who took game one to end the Astros winning streak, but the Astros bounced back thanks to Hayden Wesneski and a scrappy third inning where they're down to their last out of the inning and Altuve beat out a grounder, and that started the rally. We can thank Jesus Sanchez for that awful throw that led to Taylor Trammell scoring. Taylor Trammell actually got his home run this time, so that's nice. After what was an embarrassing moment two nights ago, he does get a home run, and that led to the 7-2 win. 2.5 games up on the Rangers. The Rangers took a lead against the Giants and wound up in the bottom of the ninth against the Giants team with the chance to go to extras, but with what should have been a routine, clearly a routine fly ball. It was, to the warning track, but a ball that should have been caught, that would have led to extras, and who knows how that would have gone. Instead, the right fielder just falls down, gifts the Rangers a win to keep them within 2.5 of the Astros. So this lead could very well be even bigger. So unfortunately, the Rangers did win. And they close out their series, I believe, against the Giants today. Another early game on the slate. A lot of early games today, including the Astros, as we like to call them, as baseball people, we like to call them getaway days. And that's what the Astros and the Toronto Blue Jays have today. Astros, actually, I say that, but they have the day off tomorrow, I believe. Another Thursday off for the Astros before they begin their series on Friday against the Padres. Ronel Blanco will be one of the starters, and so will Peter Lambert. And Javier is slated to be Sunday night starter. I say Sunday night for a reason. That game's on NBC. We're going to get a nationally televised Astros game. Padres versus – I had forgotten that NBC had the rights to Sunday night games.
I remember from watching the NBA playoffs that they would mention it, but yeah, is this the first one for the Astros? At least.
Yeah, I think so for the Astros.
They've definitely had. I think it was Red Sox Dodgers last week. I want to say, but yeah, that'll be interesting. That'll be interesting for sure.
So we'll see how the Astros are discussed on a national broadcast.
Watch your mouth. I don't know. Mike Tirico.
I don't know.
If it's an NBC, big NBC property, I assume Mike Tirico.
Why wouldn't you? He's the Olympics.
He works every job there.
He is the Al Michaels of NBC. Al Michaels used to be that guy for ABC. Now Al Michaels is on Amazon. So as I look at Sunday Night Baseball, the NBC schedule. They've had a couple NBC games, one in April and then one in May. And after that, it has been a consistent thing for NBC to have Sunday Night Baseball. But the Astros, yes, it's their first game. And it'll be back-to-back Sundays, by the way. They've got the Padres this Sunday, and then they also will have the Mariners next Sunday. That series could be big. We were talking about it to start the show, that a good week from any of these teams and a so-so week for the Astros, and all of a sudden they've lost their lead. So we'll see where the Mariners and the Astros are two Sundays from today as the Mariners come to Houston and Daikin Park for what could be a very, very, very big series. So we have our winner, right?
Yes, we do have.
We have our winner.
Peter.
Peter won. Shout out to Peter. What did Peter choose as his favorite sounder?
We did it!
The original.
The original.
Rarely gets, it doesn't get played as much anymore because we have so many, but that is the original. I think Art said he loves that one too.
And,
so.
And we did have, we unfortunately did have the original call number four did not provide.
He just called in.
Well, no, he said bye Felicia. I was like,
bye Felicia.
Yeah, I'm looking at my page.
I don't think we've ever played that. No. Perhaps because it's a reference
to Friday.
That's very old.
That came out before I was born. Perhaps.
Yeah. The only person I know who says that occasionally is John.
Yeah. Yeah. It might be a morning show. Wires.
I don't
cross
play
situation.
It, but it's not a sounder we play.
Oh, then I don't know.
I don't know where that came from. No. Sorry.
We're keep working.
Listener party vulture just hanging out. Look,
Cherry picker.
Cherry picking. Maybe that's nicer. We're talking about cockroaches. I'm trying to find a better name for the Astros. Vultures, tough. Cherry picker. Okay. I know you're cherry picking, looking for spots. I understand. We're giving them away all week long on all the local shows, but we're asking you to have at least some knowledge. An entry point into the show is the Sounders.
Yeah.
They end every show.
Yeah. If you're going to win tickets from us, listening to our show, you got to listen all the way through.
Here's the thing for the person who said bye, Felicia. Today, there will be another Sounder. And even if that's not your favorite because you're a cherry picker, just call in with that one. And then you win. Because how am I to know?
I'm now realizing that this will just get easier and easier the more we do it.
The more we do it. We don't want to make it hard on you, but at least for the first couple.
A little burp bear.
Yeah, for people who listen.
Yeah, I don't want this place being full of, you know, John and Lance only or Jeremy and Joe. I want some real Dell heads in there.
I was looking for whatever nickname you're going to use because I knew it was coming. Don't like it.
What, Dell?
I don't need a nickname. I don't need to give the listeners a nickname. I just appreciate them.
The Dell Army.
Nope. Don't like it either because then I'm a commandant or a general. I'm not looking for it. I don't like that type of responsibility. I just want to do this dumb thing for 2 hours and go have some lunch afterwards. I'm not looking to lead anyone into anything, honestly.
Okay, so no Armada?
No. El Capitan del Olalea. None of it. Don't need it. But thank you to whoever tried.
Yeah.
You will get another chance tomorrow.
Yeah, keep shooting.
Yeah, shooting that shot. And now you're going to have an opportunity to lie about your favorite sounder when we play whatever Sean plays in the show.
Well, you know.
Or maybe it becomes your favorite because it's the only one you know.
Yeah, we got there some good ones.
Yeah, I like them, but this person is clearly just trying to win tickets. Oh, Pena, who apparently can't call in, has chimed in with his. Pena, I'm gonna help you out
here.
Yeah,
we'll take care
of you. If your number's still blocked, I don't know how.
Yeah.
If your number...
Oh, Joe's here today. I'll ask
Joe.
I'll ask Joe when I see
him. Did Pena do something that led to his number being blocked? Is that even possible? What heinous thing could you do? Honestly, that's a proper word. What awful thing, heinous thing could you do that we would... Or have someone figure out how to block your number on that old-ass system? I can't believe that's what's happened. It's got to be something else. But either way, Pena, we're still thinking about you. Appreciate you calling it.
We'll hold you down.
Yeah, we'll find a way.
While you're in listener jail.
Some, allegedly.
We'll send you money for the commissary.
He broke into jail and stayed there. That's what it feels like to me. I don't know how this happened. All right. So after yesterday's show ended, Sean came in with the news that the coaches poll's out. in college football.
Yeah, preseason poll.
Poll was out.
I love a preseason poll.
No accountability needed right now.
Who cares? Because
the coaches aren't exposed about how they voted. But we do have our top 25. It's the first thing we can rail against that has, well, this one has little significance. It's not even one they use on games up until the CFP. The AP poll is the one that's used. They put that number next to the teams. That's the number you see. It's the AP. The coaches used to matter. When's the last time the coaches poll mattered?
Maybe BCS?
The BCS era?
Yeah, when they're like one-third of when the they're one, BCS
yeah,
poll.
Yeah. Now, it's just a talking point, and we see how coaches feel about the teams. And right now, the coaches, you know, like anything else in the world of college football, there's an SEC lean to the poll, as I think the SEC has the most teams in the rankings.
Yes, they have nine.
They have nine. They also have two in the top five. That is Georgia and Texas, number three and number four in the country, according to the coaches. Ohio State's 38 with the most first with 38 first place votes. Indiana is sixth, but with 14 first place votes. So there are wide ranges about the Indiana Hoosiers. This could be coaches simply saying they're the national champions. They're defending. They're the defending champions. So we're gonna give them the benefit of the doubt and make them number one.
To be the man, you gotta beat
the
man.
No offense, and you know what? Take offense if you so choose. Josh Hoover ain't the quarterback of the number one team in the country. Not to start the year. That might develop into something.
He's got to earn that.
But Josh Hoover, the TCU transfer, is the quarterback of the number one team in the country. No chance. I'm not saying it's all because of Josh Hoover, but when I think about quarterbacks who can win a national title,
yeah,
I don't have Josh Hoover in my tier. We did this Mike Sando thing earlier today on this show. On the morning show. We talked about it yesterday because it came out during our show, or at least right around there.
Yeah,
we did the tiers. Josh Hoover ain't on a tier of win because of national title.
Well, it's also like, they did go undefeated. And they did blow out a bunch of teams going into it. But they still, you know, you needed every last drop of Heisman Trophy number one pick Fernando Mendoza to beat Miami, to beat Penn State in the regular season.
Ohio State was a close game.
Yeah, so like the margins are thin and, you know, just more often than not, you're going to, no matter if, whether you're Indiana, whether you're Alabama, probably not Alabama, but LSU, whoever, if you have a Heisman quarterback and then he goes into the
number
draft,
one overall,
chances are you're going to have a worse quarterback.
Yeah.
That is just how it goes. Again, I kind of accepted Alabama there because, they've made it work.
It really depends, with them. But I acknowledge the coaches rewarding a team.
Yeah, I don't think it's
because, you know, frankly, as I said, the poll doesn't really matter that much. Yeah. So the coaches want to say, hey, we're going to throw 14 first place votes Indiana's way. Understood. Respect for the champion. But go ahead.
What's most interesting is that they are second in first place votes, but sixth.
This is what I'm saying. Yeah, the wide range of how the coaches feel about them. Yeah. Some coaches are giving them their just due for winning the title. Other coaches are going, I'm looking at even the guys you brought in. Yeah. To replace these guys. Because Indiana lost a bit. Fernando Mendoza at the top of it because the quarterback, Heisman Trophy winner, number one overall. That's understood. They lost two starting receivers. Were they both first? No, not both first-rounders, but they lost the first-round wide receiver. Yeah. Omar Cooper, I believe, went to the Jets, right, in the first round. They lose their top two running backs. They lose their best cornerback. They lost quite a bit.
O-line.
O-line. They bring back a couple guys, certainly.
Yeah.
So it's a team that, despite the recent run, it's not like they're the recruiting powers of like other schools where if you lose these type of guys, you can bring in four stars or five stars who are just waiting. They've had to do it the way modern football is being done when it comes to rebuilding the portal. And you go from, who was the guy who was it Rourke?
Curtis Rourke, yeah.
Curtis Rourke to Fernando Mendoza, and now you're doing the Josh Hoover. So, yes, quarterback turnover, you only get these guys for a year. Miami's doing the same thing. It was Ward. It was Beck. Now it's Mensa. So that happens. But the difference is in these other spots where you may be simply replacing a quarterback. Yeah, the portal's still something you're going to use, but you at least have a baseline of high school talent that's been in your program for years, that at least you hope can help with the supplementary players that you're bringing in from the portal. Indiana, we will see if the guys that remained from previous portal classes who weren't NFL draft picks, and the recruiting they've done in the short term, a short time that Cignetti's been there, will be enough to keep a foundation so they can just sprinkle in portal guys. Because portal guys can be hit or miss. The classes can be hit or miss. Indiana clearly hit when you bring in Mendoza and others, D'Angelo Pons as well. If you miss out on a portal class and you don't have that foundation of high school recruits, yeah, it can get real ugly. Shout out to Tallahassee and Florida State. They're the prime example of hitting on a portal class and then completely whiffing on one, and their program hasn't recovered.
I feel bad for anyone who is a Florida State fan that listens to our show, because I also had the thought of, like, yeah, you can look at what happened to Florida State. They're transfer U, and they went 13-0 and missed out and got demolished in the Orange Bowl against Georgia, and they've been transfer U since then. The worst results, terrible results. And I think Cignetti's, you know, there is a baseline there.
Yes, it's Cignetti, which certainly gives you more confidence than Mike Norvell.
Yeah. But also, I just imagine some guy just in Houston being like, you know, I'm a Florida State
Keith?
Fan.
Oh, some guy is Keith.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's a Florida State
fan. Oh, I didn't know that.
He was, and there are others who enjoyed the 2023 season calling into. Well, this show didn't exist at the time, but calling into the John Land show, knowing I'm a Miami fan.
To put the cape on for them getting wronged?
Well, that or just enjoying the season before they got wronged. Big up in Jordan Travis. We know, well, the record without Jordan Travis for Mike Norvell is not a good one.
That was a load-bearing Jordan Travis.
For Mike Norvell. Jordan Travis was a load-bearing wall that he ran against some bad football team late in the year, and that wall crumbled, and so did the program.
Florida State, 13 points in the preseason coach poll. Not 13th.
13 points.
They got 13 points.
So,
voting points.
As far as the Texas teams are concerned, Texas is number 4, A&M is number 8. You're going to hear a lot of Aggies football this year here on ESPN 97.5. And then Tech comes in at 12. They have a strong portal class. The question is, will their quarterback be a hindrance as Will Hammond is in line to be their starting quarterback after the Sorsby drama played out in a way that led to Sorsby not being a quarterback anywhere this year? So LSU's 13. As far as other Big 12 teams outside of Tech, you've got BYU at 15, the two teams who played each other in the Big 12 title game. And then Utah's in there, and then you throw in the Cougs, who come in at number 24 in the country, right ahead of Missouri and behind Clemson. So the Cougs, a preseason top 25 record, ranking from the coaches after a really good year last year. Willie Fritz is a program builder, and the Cougs get a little respect after their good year last year. So that's the college football poll, according to the coaches. Whenever the AP comes out, we'll certainly get into that. I don't think there'll be much difference. We'll see if there's any giant changes between how the coaches feel about teams and the players. But we're getting ever closer to the season when the polls are coming out. We will actually have competitive football tomorrow.
Oh, yes.
Preseason football. As Carson Beck and the Arizona Cardinals take on whoever the hell the Panthers want to roll out there.
It's Kenny Pickett.
Kenny Pickett.
Shame on me for knowing that
off the top of my head. What's wrong with you?
But it's Kenny Pickett versus Carson Beck.
I know Carson Beck because he was a quarterback of my favorite team last year. So I'm going to know what he's up to. And apparently he's had a couple good days after struggling.
That one open practice.
Where everyone's like, ugh, man, why does every throw like that pick you through in your college career? He has been better since then. And we'll see what he has. As Brissett is the quarterback that will start for the Cardinals, the question is for how long, particularly if Beck shows anything in camp and in these preseason games. So real football, in some ways, tomorrow.
Mostly real football.
I mean, it'll be football where
there'll be
flags and they're keeping score.
Uniforms,
they'll be wearing their actual uniforms. So in that way, it's real football. it'll end the feeling of real football 8 minutes into the first quarter, maybe. Because the offensive lines will let you know when those backups are in. No one's executing.
It's that, and then the whatever number a receiver wears, there's always at some point in the Hall of Fame game where I'm like, okay, I can tell by the number. That's not a guy I need to learn the name
of. When it used to be the opposite, where if you're wearing a number in the teens, you weren't a real player in preseason.
Yeah,
now, but now, if you're in the 80s, I mean, CeeDee Lamb aside, but if you were, which that's a Cowboys thing.
Yeah.
Going from 2, which would be the cool number to wear, which you wore in college now in the pros, to 88, because those are the numbers of the great Cowboys receivers of the past. All right, we'll go to break. We'll get into some more college football because ESPN has their best games to watch this season. So we'll see if we agree on that, see if you guys agree as well. If you want to get in, the number is 713-780-3776. But before we go, I want to talk about Aqueduct Plumbing Company. No question about how great they are. Simply go to the website and find out what they can do to help you out. While they are a plumbing company, it says it in the name, they do more than that. They do remodels. They'll run gas lines to your barbecue. They'll do all that stuff for you, to your grill. They'll do it all for you, as long as it's under that services drop-down menu. You can find that at aqueductplumbingcompany.com. If you want to call them, the number is 281-488-6238. That's 281-488-6238. Get your water heaters fixed or replaced. Have your drains looked at. Anything you need to do that you can't do, Aqueduct Plumbing will take care of you on the plumbing front. They are Houston's premier repiping company. Simply means if you need that giant job because your home's a little older, the pipes are bad, and you don't want it to affect the way you cook, the way you clean, just how your house function, get in touch with the people at Aqueduct Plumbing Company. Also, get yourself a free quote. You know you got a problem, but you don't want to be charged for the assessment of the problem. They'll do that for you. That free price quote is a big deal. You don't want the double charge. You don't want to be charged for someone assessing your problem and then have to pay them for them to fix it. That's no good. Aqueduct Plumbing Company won't do that to you. That's why they should be your plumbing company of choice. Just go to aqueductplumbingcompany.com. That's aqueductplumbingcompany.com.
ESPN 97.5.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, it's the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
This show talks a lot about television and movies. So a lot of what happens sometimes in the real world is I frame it with, I watched a movie that did this or a TV show that did this. That's why when I read about witness tampering in the Terry Rozier case, I think it's straight out of Law and Order, straight out of some crime procedural I'll casually watch on USA Network. And Terry Rozier's childhood friend, De Niro Laster, is being accused of repeatedly and flagrantly violating the conditions of his release. He's a co-defendant with Terry Rozier. He's being accused of witness tampering. He attempted to contact co-defendants in the case both directly and through intermediaries. Terry Rozier isn't being accused of that, but his childhood friend is. So
yeah,
we've got witness tampering in the case involving the NBA and gambling.
It's like a gangster movie.
Yeah.
Like a mafia. And his name's De Niro.
De Niro, yeah.
Which is a great name. I didn't know that could be a first name.
That name came from someone who's a fan of the actor. You never know, but you would just assume. How many De Niros do you know first names?
Yeah.
Forget about the last name.
It'd be so funny if, in the episode that is a flashback episode about De Niro's dad, And he's like, I really should not have shown him Casino when he was 8 years old.
He really took it to heart.
I really, really should not have done
he
that.
He really took it to heart. So they want to revoke De Niro's bail. Laster, you probably have to say his whole name.
De Niro Laster.
De Niro Laster's bail because he won't stop violating the conditions of him being able to move around a little bit while the trial is set to take place. So we'll see how that goes as this trial involves Terry Rozier. There's a Chauncey Billups element to it as well. And Rozier's currently someone who I think I saw months ago was like, you know what? I'm innocent. I still want to keep my NBA career alive. Good luck with that. So we'll see how it goes. But the trial is currently scheduled for February 8th of next year. And we'll see if De Niro Laster can cut it out when it comes to talking to witnesses and other defendants. He's not supposed to do that. And I did not know this, that Terry Rozier's nickname is Chum. There's a sentence
Chum?
From a text that Rozier's attorney sent to the buddy, De Niro Laster. Don't tell Chum about the bet.
Chum. And
I wonder where Chum comes from. How does that come about?
Like
you think about like you throw in the water for sharks.
Yeah. What? Huh. Chum. Terry Rozier. He's the third, right?
I believe he is Rozier the third. I think that's the case.
I mean, he should be Trey, not Chum. Or is that like a cultural? Is there something I'm missing there? Where it's like, don't tell my chum that he's a.
So he's just a friend, is what you're saying?
Yeah.
He's English?
Yeah.
He's just a friend?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That's how you work your way to get there?
Yeah. They're attorneys. They're Anglophiles or something. Yeah.
So just to clarify, Rozier attorney wrote that Laster texted, "Don't tell Chum about the bet."
Laster said it.
Laster texted, "Don't tell Chum about the bet" to an unidentified recipient.
De Niro Laster is just he's an Anglophile. I think.
Yeah,
he's watching a lot of. They don't even say it.
Do they say that in Downton Abbey?
Yeah, no, definitely not. Maybe the downstairs folks say.
Perhaps
it.
I've seen enough English television, whether it be Gangs of London, Top Boy. Chum not being used there.
Luther, no.
No, John Luther never used the word chum. I don't know where that nickname comes from. I'm sure there's a less English reason for it, but that's the only connection I can make.
Yeah, interesting.
Terry Rozier really loved The Crown.
I'm very interested in the naming conventions.
Yeah, I care less about the gambling thing. Honestly, at this point, whatever happens, happens.
Yeah, Chum and a De Niro.
I love De Niro.
De Niro, I
can explain that even if I'm wrong. Yes. I can get there and it makes sense to me. I can't explain why Terry Rozier's nickname is Chump.
Yeah, I'm kind of like De Niro.
In fact, now it's time to ask a question.
I don't know if I'd name a kid De Niro, but a dog or awesome. A pet?
Yeah, yeah. I don't mind it. I mean, I get it. People were naming their kids Daenerys at one point.
Yeah, so. That didn't end well.
No, they probably wait for the series to be over before you do that.
Yeah, take it from me, the... The parent of Rhaenyra Mapes. Rhaenyra Targaryen.
Can you
Mapes.
Think? Yeah, she's going down the path that it appears.
Doesn't look great.
That doesn't look great. Yeah.
Doesn't look great.
Yeah. I don't know that you, like, of all the characters from Game of Thrones, I mean, John's a basic name, so it doesn't even matter. You would have to explain all the time. Rob, yeah, you died, but that's still a basic name. Rob with two Bs, I guess you could do.
Jamie.
Catelyn. Oh, well, yeah, the end for most is death. The people who live, are you going to name your kid Sansa?
Nah. Samwell?
He'll just be Sam. And people will think you're talking about the Hobbit.
Yeah.
Not Tarly. It'd be Sam. Actually, that's Samwise. Excuse me for all the nerddom coming out of me right now. But either way, I hope Chum has a fair trial.
Yeah,
and however it goes, it goes.
He does. He's right that he's innocent until proven guilty. That's true. Needs his day in court.
Like
like
Scary Terry is the name that we knew about. There's also Chum.
Scary Terry is better than Chum.
Yes, unless there is something I don't know about that name. So it's a childhood nickname that dates back years. to a personal social media account.
Okay.
Yes, I hear the list, the intern talking to someone, telling everyone, or that caller, I'm on air. Yes, I am on air. If you want to talk to me, sir or madam, you have to do it through the phone. I can't come to the phone, right? I can't come to the phone. You have to do it on the air. Yeah, there's no real reason for Chum other than it came from some social media account when he was younger.
All right.
Yeah, I don't. But I wouldn't think that his friends would call him Scary Terry in a text either.
Yeah,
that's a name for the public.
Yeah. No, that's very like athlete nickname, like what the media calls an athlete nickname, but like, no one calls him in real life.
Yeah, because no one who knows him would call him Scary Terry.
Yeah,
because it's stupid.
Yeah, I need to get a ride. Let me ask Scary Terry.
Let's see what Scary Terry wants to do. Not yet. Who's doing that? All right. Before we go to, you know what? Let's go to break. I was going to say before we would get to some other college football things, but I was distracted by witness tampering. Chum. And the nickname Chum for an NBA player who really tanked one of my seasons as a fan. It's to be expected as Terry Rozier. I just didn't know why it was happening. And allegedly it's because he was involved in a gambling ring. All right, we'll get to some more college football when we come back. And some more Astros as well, because their lineup is out. And a guy who's struggling mightily isn't a part of it. We'll get to that when we come back.
You're back inside the Huntington Bank Studios with Del Olalea and Sean Mapes.
Last segment of the show. If you want to join us before we wrap it up, 713-780-3776. Okay. The struggling player in question is Paredes. He has been bad. Adam Spillane tweeted about it, documented it. At one point last night, he was one out of his last 15 with a couple walks. So, Paredes, considering where he bats in the lineup, pretty important. He won't be in the lineup today as the Astros try to take the series against the Toronto Blue Jays. Good to see Hunter Brown out there again. Perfect guy before you go on, before you get a day off and head on out to San Diego to try to close out a series, having Hunter Brown out there. So we'll see if he can continue pitching well and help the Astros win a series. College football-wise, ESPN has put out their games of the year, the games you should want to either go to or watch. Off the top of your head, even if it is biased because of the team in question, Sean, you got a particular favorite game of the year that you're thinking about right now that comes into your mind?
Yeah, I mean, obviously Texas-Ohio State is up there, but I'll go – it might honestly be my choice even above the game my team is directly involved in, because it's week three instead of week two, LSU at Ole Miss.
Yeah, we talked about all the stuff that is going to feed into that game. Not only is Lane Kiffin going against his former team, but it's the perfect venue. He has to go to Oxford. He has to go to Ole Miss and deal with whatever an SEC crowd who's upset, who feels indignant, who feels wronged, and is able to imbibe in alcoholic beverages. Well, you can do all that. You put that formula together, and two good football teams.
Yeah,
you got a mixture that could be pretty exciting. I'm going to be, as the kids say, seated, Sean, for that one. I'm going to watch that one. It's week three, so Miami's not playing anyone of any consequence. So even if they are on at the same time,
yeah,
I know where the big TV will be on, and I'll put Miami on the second screen. But Ole Miss versus LSU is the one for me off the top that I want to see.
Yeah.
As far as SEC games, it's not even mentioned by Bill Connolly.
Yeah, he does. He mentions in one of the other ones where. But it doesn't meet the criteria he set out for this, and I did just skip the criteria.
The criteria is
highest S&P
combined ratings. As his rate, his ratings, yeah, the S&P ratings,
and spread,
and projected scoring margin under 8 points. So I don't know, because Ole Miss is in some of the games he says you should watch. So I guess that's, and so is LSU. I'm just not sure why the two combined don't give you that. But either way, LSU at Ole Miss is at the top of the list.
I will say the one that he points out is the week after, and it's Texas A&M at LSU, which is like the biggest letdown spot in the world
for LSU. Yeah.
Whether they win or lose, frankly. Like, it might be worse if they win in Oxford and then have Mike Elko's squad going in there with Tommy Moffitt ready to make LSU pay again, even though Brian Kelly's the one who didn't keep him.
If you don't know the history there, Tommy Moffitt was LSU's longtime strength coach who was let go by one Brian Kelly because Brian Kelly never knows how to really ingratiate himself with a fan base and a community,
I mean, he tried his hardest, you know?
Yeah, he did the dance. He did the accent. He did all the things wrong that you can do instead of, you know, just keeping the longtime strength coach. But I get it. You're a coach. You want to have your own program. But that was tough for Tommy Moffitt and some of the LSU people to deal with. And Tommy Moffitt certainly now has an axe to grind against LSU. And he'll be able to, you know, try to do it again because he had a good time in Death Valley as A&M took apart LSU last year. Yeah. And one of the reasons Brian Kelly didn't have that job anymore.
Should be a closer game, I'll say. Even with the letdown spot.
You would hope so for LSU's sake and A&M's sake. Who knows how it'll go? LSU's a much different team with a new quarterback and a new head coach. So we'll see how it plays out. Some of the other ones, what you would expect, Ohio State at Indiana is one of the few Indiana tests this year. Nothing out of conference for them. It should be a cakewalk for them. And then they go to Michigan. They have Ohio State at home. Indiana's only going to be tested in the Big Ten. So we won't know much about them until they're deep into their Big Ten schedule, really. The Miami-Notre Dame game has legitimately only four words. Yes, yes, I want. Or five words. Yes, yes, I want it. That's all he says about that game. And if you listen to this show or just know what college football was about last year, you know why. You don't need much to say about that game.
Especially
and all the implications.
Two teams who, you know, their schedules
who won't
exactly
really be challenged.
Murder's Row. So it is like also in November, like early November, like we finally get to see these guys really throw punches with someone at their level. I mean, I guess Notre Dame plays BYU. And like, you know, like,
we shouldn't overlook them. Like, they're a good team.
Yeah, some solid teams, but this is like some real.
And Miami has Clemson. 10. We'll see if Clemson can regain any type of form so people can actually take them seriously in the ACC. I mean, Vezina at quarterback. Mm. The noise Sean is making is what everyone thinks about when they think of the current Clemson team.
They had a lot of talent on last year's team. If you watched the draft, you would have thought that the team was awesome.
And look how that worked out.
And so, I have my doubts. I have my doubts.
You and others. They have a really good linebacker. Sammy Brown's really good. Their best player is an inside linebacker, which may speak to where Clemson's at right now.
They have an edge rusher,
yeah,
right?
They'll always have those guys. Yeah. But the one with much acclaim is an inside linebacker who was unlike past Clemson inside linebackers in terms of athleticism. He's not getting by with gall and his will. Woodaz is more
NFL
of a
talent.
He's an outside guy. Wasn't he an outside linebacker there? Was he inside at Clemson?
I thought he was inside, but I could be.
He's profiling. More angular than some of the other guys they've run through.
I could
there.
Be profiling there.
Yeah, I don't remember. You might be right. He might have been an inside linebacker, but even Woodaz is more of that's an athlete out there as opposed to, you know, the Venables kid who played linebacker and others who have played that spot for Clemson in the past, the inside linebacker spot for Clemson. Sammy Brown's a really good player. So if you just want to watch a baller play football, just take a look at Clemson on defense. Not saying you should look at them on offense. We'll see what Chris Vezina is. But Sammy Brown's one of those dudes that if you are a team who is without talent at the linebacker spot on the NFL level, that's a guy to have your eye on as far as when he turns pro. One of the better ones in the country, if not the best. So if you want to find the entirety of the list, it's certainly on ESPN. But
Is there a Cougs game? I I hand up.
It would have to be Tech.
Hand
if it
up.
Is.
I skipped over.
I did not
the,
see the Cougs.
Big 12 schedule.
Well, that's because you're biased.
I am. No,
the Cougs aren't on the list at all.
Neither's Tech.
Neither's Tech. It's,
I guess
it's a lot of BYU and Utah on the
because
list.
It has to be within an 8-point spread.
Yeah, I guess. I guess the Tech game is supposed to be a blowout against the Cougs. I guess that's where that comes from. Yeah. He does mention it in passing, but Houston going to Tech, but it is not one of his featured games. I think if the Cougs are who I think they can be this year, the winner takes a giant step to winning that conference. I think the Cougs, as long as wherever that quarterback play comes from, as long as it's good, I think the rest of that team is good enough if they get the competent quarterback play to be a real contender for the playoff by winning the Big 12. What they do when they make the playoff, that's a different conversation. But I think the Big 12 is one where they can really compete. It'll be Tech. It'll be BYU, Utah under Morgan Scalley. And I don't know if Arizona State will be able to play football as opposed to panhandling for money. Right, they're going to play football, right? Or
at
is Kenny
some
Dick,
point,
or is Kenny Dillingham going to continue to ask for money?
He might,
instead of coach.
He might have a play sheet in one hand and a cup in the other.
Ting, 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 ting.
But he will be
shaking
playing
it for
tips.
Coins.
Yeah, like he's like he's a waiter.
You can't
I'll
go,
say a waiter playing for tips.
Yeah, you can't go. You can't go 2 weeks if he's available for media.
Yeah,
there will be a mention of how tough it is out there in them streets for Arizona State, and they need people to donate.
Yeah.
I mean, Kelvin Sampson did that earlier in the year.
Yeah. I mean, you are allowed to do that.
You're allowed to do it.
He does it a lot.
But the only time maybe it's because he's the coach of Arizona State. But the only time I hear from Dillingham is because someone is highlighting that he's asking
at a press
for people to donate money to the program.
And it's always like some like cockamamie idea of like, hey, listen, we only need two people to donate $25 million.
He's asking for Cody Campbell's.
Yeah.
If we had two Cody Campbell's.
We need a lot of little investors. And he's like, if you're Tempe area restaurant, why don't you put like the Sam Levitt sandwich or whatever. Like,
yeah, I remember that.
He did that, too, where he's like, name a menu item after one of our players.
They would have had to take that sandwich off the menu pretty quickly.
That's why it's a terrible.
Yeah, why in the era of NIL, why would you want a player being the focus of
like 75%
of the
draw
for businesses?
The Relique Brown hero.
Yeah. I mean, how long is he going to be there?
Yeah.
Not long. So Arizona State in a bit of trouble, at least if you listen to their head coach with their funds as they try to compete. Look, I get it, man. You want to compete at the highest level. You see
where these
rosters are going. These rosters have gone from like 15, 18 million to now some of them allegedly are in the $30 to $40 million range. When you talk about high school recruiting and retaining your own players, that's tough to compete with. If you don't have a large, not just fan base, but donor group.
Yeah, benefactors.
Who really wants to pay to make sure their team that they root for every Saturday is good. And that's why he's begging for his own Cody Campbell.
It's got to be the best feeling in the world, though, to be a multi-millionaire and that can just write a check, be like, let's get a receiver in the portal, huh? What do you think, Coach?
Coach's
I got
like,
it.
You know what? I like your idea.
Yeah, it must be so great to be a donor.
I mean, Texas had to deal with it in a negative way for a very long time. Who was going to be able?
That also would be great.
Who was going to be able to get the donors in line and make it go in one direction and allow the coach to be the coach?
I understand why that was a headache for Mac Brown. I'm sure for Steve Sarkisian, for Tom Herr. I'm sure, yes, for the coach, it's a headache. But if you're Joe Jamail with your name on stuff, it's got to be great.
You always have a say.
Yeah, you can always get your coach on the phone.
They have to answer.
Imagine that. Just being able to, like, on Monday, be like, what's up, coach?
Really like that.
What the hell? That,
I really like that fourth quarter stand. Whatever you want to say, he's going to have to answer. Coach is in the meeting. Delay the meeting. For 5 minutes, I gotta talk to him.
I'm Red freaking McCombs.
He'll talk to me.
He will.
Yeah.
That'd be so great.
not. I couldn't imagine being the one who has to deal with it, though. Like, it's great.
That would not be great.
It's great for the money, man.
Yeah.
Like,
it is one of the top things of, like, if I were ever stinking rich.
Yeah.
Like, I just immediately, I'm.
Whoever will be the Texas coach in 15 years, you'd love to be able to, like, get him on the line at any point. And you know he has to answer. Hey, coach, I got to call up
Charlie Weiss Jr. I need to talk to him.
Like, my daughter's got a party. I really love you there.
Oh, my God. Yes, that too.
Getting them to show up to your event.
To, like, a wedding.
Yeah.
My nephew's wedding.
He really likes it, coach, and I really love you there.
It'd mean a lot.
Yeah.
To the couple.
And that's all you have to say.
Yeah.
And you don't even go, can I? I'll send you the invite.
I'll send you the invite. And then, you know, then maybe, you know, after the wedding or at the wedding, like, we can talk about, you know, my level of investment into this program.
Yeah. Why are you running such soft zone coverage in the red zone?
Oh, my God. Pete Kwiatkowski would
do the football stuff you get into. Because you need to have a say on things.
Steve Sarkisian's red zone offense. Imagine if I could talk to Steve Sarkisian about that.
I mean, what are Arch's legs for if you're not going to use them?
That's what I'm saying.
Things like that. All right. Sean's fantasy of being a meddling booster out on Front Street.
The worst part is that it's Texas and there's 15 others.
Yeah. How much money would you have to be the first in line?
So much.
The first call that Sark or whoever is in the position would have to take. So much money. Imagine being in that group and being the one who has to wait. You don't have to wait for anything else.
Exactly. That's why being Cody Campbell's the best.
Yeah. Being the only one.
Yeah.
And waiting for no one. All right. We're done for the day. We got our winner for the listener appreciation party. We'll do that again tomorrow. I do want to remind you before we go that, of course, Houston Restaurant Weeks is going on. Just go to HoustonRestaurantWeeks.com to check out everything they have to offer. It's a great thing for the Houston Food Bank. It's going on through September 7th. You can think of it like an all-star lineup of restaurants with their menus. You get a little bit cheaper than normally during this time, and your help goes to the Houston Food Bank. Dine out, do good, and check out the full lineup at HoustonRestaurantWeeks.com. It goes to a good place, Houston Food Bank. Since we're done for the day, Sean, what's it going to be?
We did it!
The original and still beloved.
Yeah, we really don't play it enough. I'll get on it.
Who's this we?
I don't play it enough. I'll get on it.
Come on. It's an honor.
I'll stop fantasizing about being a headache.
Yeah. I always want to shame Jason Tatum. We don't do it enough. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
At Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9th, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.